It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here as we examine statewide transportation issues and priorities with the new leader of the Wisconsin County Highway Association. This nonprofit manages and maintains over 31,000 miles of county and state highway trunk systems, these major connectors of communities. Call in about public works, road conditions on highways, or what you wonder about county highway systems. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Patrick Van Der Sanden is executive director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association, previously served as the statewide local program officer at the State Department of Transportation. Patrick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, some vocabulary straight off the top. What are county trunk highway systems?
Well, those are what we've got that connect the statewide highway system. So the main major highways in the state, the county trunk highways, provide a connection between those and allow travel between, you know, within the counties. You'll know those by their, alphabetical labeling, you know, county trunk highway A or B, for example.
That makes sense. And these are basically corridors as well, really connecting communities like veins going all over Wisconsin.
Right. A very key part of the road transportation network in our state.
So your previous job with DOT involved coordinating aid to local governments. What did you learn about transportation in Wisconsin that's set you up for your current work at the association?
Well, if I could, I'd maybe take us even a step before my time at DOT. For 15 years, I was in local government management, and my first job in local government was as a public works director. Then I moved on to work as a village administrator and then city administrator. So that gave me a sense of just, the need to keep public roads maintained and just in balancing the budgets and how all that is taken care of. So moving then on to DOT, learning more about this, primarily what I did was assured that funding, whether it be from state or federal governments, was properly managed per state policy and statutes and getting out to the locals to take and run with.
So how does the association then interface, work with the DOT and with local municipal governments and public works departments? How does everyone combine there and work together?
Well, it is a couple of things. Folks may think that, policies developed at, by the legislature and also, work through state agencies, which is true. But, the development of that policy in utilizing best practices comes from the people out in the field. And those are the workers in county highway departments and in local governments. And so WCHA is a partner with the DOT in, committees and study groups and taking a look at, what does make sound policy, which, in turns develops the structure for how funding is determined.
Sounds like road maintenance and management and those priorities rise up from the local level?
It's a big part of it, sure. With the funding pots that are available at the state and federal level, it's those levels of government that want to know from the local level, what is their unique needs. And so WCHA is a piece of that and wants certainly to be at the table to discuss how to best utilize those funds. So I guess kind of going back to your initial question, when I was at DOT, I was a, you know, program manager, program officer, and I dealt on that side of it. But I did develop a really strong relationship with the county highway commissioners and understood, you know, where they were coming from in terms of the need to address the infrastructure that they needed to take care of in their individual counties.
Talking about transportation with Patrick Van Der Sanden, the new executive director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association. Colin, about how trunk systems work, about what you would like to address in your county highways, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Patrick, I understand the association is having its annual conference that's getting underway. Employee hiring and retention is one of the topics on the agenda. What challenges are counties facing in this area of workforce?
Well, it's, you know, a kind of a reflection of what's going on in the overall workforce, where there are definite needs, turnover, and folks just not, you know, filling the roles that are required. It's very difficult to recruit skilled workers and retain them. And if I could say, you know, from my experience working at DOT and now understanding the issues at WCHA, you know, we're on a really good plane in terms of public funding and support by the state and federal government. But maybe the downfall or the flip side, so to speak, is that with the funding means that there will be more work, but, you know, then do we have enough of the workforce and the people out there to actually get the job done?
I wonder, do you think could county and state highway projects be at risk if there are workforce gaps in road construction crews?
Well, I guess at this point, I'm not really sure about that. You know, maybe you could draw that conclusion, getting acclimated to the position, certainly something we're going to look at. But I know that, like I said, like many industries out there, public and private, there just is a real challenge for attracting and holding on to talented, skilled workers.
The association lobbies lawmakers on transportation policy, like supporting a law passed last year allowing municipal vehicles to use fluorescent green warning lights. What are the association's legislative priorities this year?
Well, I guess I'll preface my comments again as a newbie. We're just getting into those issues, and I'm gaining understanding. But, you know, kind of the backbone issues is always to making sure that, you know, from the association, the county highway departments, they are, you know, their needs are heard and addressed in when decisions are made in terms of how funding breaks down. And, you know, so that'll be something that I'll be looking at. I know there's been a lot of discussion at the legislative level and the governor in terms of looking at shared revenue. But, you know, shared revenue, not, you know, specifically directed towards transportation, it does have a domino effect. You know, counties, local governments, they get more public funding that leads to, you know, more available resources for what is necessary in the transportation sector.
Patrick Van Der Sanden leads the Wisconsin County Highway Association. You can be part of the conversation by calling with your questions about the state's roadways. Share what you think would improve the state and county highway system. 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with the new executive director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association, Patrick Van Der Sanden. He leads this organization representing Wisconsin's 72 county highway and public works departments, managing and maintaining tens of thousands of miles of county and state highway systems. Join in at any time, calling with your questions, your thoughts on local highways, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's take a call now. David joining us from Mosinee. David, hi, go ahead. David, can you hear us? I think we're having a bit of difficulty getting David. I want to turn the attention, Patrick, to funding. One topic of your association's conference is how to access federal funds. How much does federal funding influence your work?
A big part of it. So one of the things that reverting back to the work that I did at DOT over the last 3 years was the management of funding contained in the bipartisan infrastructure law. The section that I worked in is designed to provide specific programming for various local road maintenance, and counties were a big part of that. But the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, or BIL, that was approved, put forth a huge influx in additional funding. Looking at that, again, kind of going, it's great news, means a lot more dollars coming into the state to address those needs. So then the next step is, how do we utilize it? How do we manage it? And a lot of good work has been done over the past year. And this is, several years going forward that will have to be taking care of that. So the counties will be, there to ensure that, the needs are conveyed and we get as much what needs to be addressed.
And just putting a finer point on that, Governor Evers announced last fall the infrastructure law had provided more than $235 million for over 150 local road and bridge projects, 66 counties. What is the impact of that federal funding in terms of those projects and making sure that they are the highest priority for the state and for local highway priorities, that they align?
I think that's where I'd go back to, putting the focus on, for the county government side. You've got the local cities, villages, and towns also. You're working with those people that are in the communities. Every county has a commissioner, they've got their crews, they're the ones that are out there and they know what's needed. So again, we've got a lot of this money coming in, but the state really needs to rely upon those experts that are out there who know what we need to address.
Let's bring on Tom in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Although I live in Madison, my girlfriend is up in Oxford, town of Jackson, in Adams County, and I'm familiar with a stretch of road, County Highway EE going into Adams County off of State Highway 82. And there is a turn in the road where you are encounter a sign entering Adams County, and coming the other way southbound, you find a sign entering Marquette County. But the stretch of road in between doesn't seem to be maintained by anybody. And as you go around this curve, the shoulder is badly eroded. And I've called both of those highway departments and, in fact, stopped a truck that was out there one time. And they just say, oh, no, that belongs to the other county. I'd like you to weigh in on this issue and have them fix that stretch of, you know, 100 feet of road between the county line signs.
Tom, thank you. Patrick, what could be going on here?
Well, Tom, was it? I'm sorry.
Tom. Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you first talked about County EE in Adams County, that did ring a bell. And again, finishing up things at DOT, I seem to recall that there is a project that they're looking at to look at that. I can't tell you about the specifics, but either way, I'll note it, and you know, certainly, you know, we talk with our members. But
are there stretches of roads, have you found, that where neither county will claim a small segment like that? Has that happened before?
I'm not familiar, and I know that, you know, roads that cross borders and you know, those kinds of things, you know, create some extra challenges logistically. But I guess I can't speak to, you know, any particular experience in dealing with that, you know, from my experience.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The previous director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association had raised concerns over the sustainability of one-time funding for road improvements and maintenance. Do you think a lack of long-term funding is a concern with the projects that are under consideration?
Yeah, I would agree with Dan. Dan Federley was the previous executive director, but Dan's correct in that one-time funding in Wisconsin roads, you know, are something that you have to make a commitment on. You know, the folks may think that, yeah, you dig up the road and replace it and everything means that you're good to go. Well, that, you know, it does maintain the infrastructure for quite a long time, but the ongoing maintenance is what is the key, you know, in this climate with the elements and particular how water is managed, you know, it does create deterioration over time. So that regular maintenance is what's key. And so going back to one-time funding, that may address the project and fix it, but over time there's needs to keep that new infrastructure preserved.
Patrick Van Der Sanden with us, new head of the Wisconsin County Highway Association. Dwayne in Schofield with a question. Dwayne, hi.
Oh, good morning. So we moved up here from Iowa like 12 years ago and moved to Weston Schofield. And it was a road we took from Weston to downtown Wausau. Anyway, I said, this is literally criminal that vehicles are getting destroyed on this like 3/4 mile stretch of road from like the Walgreens down to the Schofield Dam. And it was just kapoom, kapoom, kapoom. A couple of my buddies are firemen. And I had made calls to the village. Oh, it was a small section of state responsibility. They said they're well aware of it. They've had hundreds and hundreds of calls over the last couple of years. And I said, well, my buddy's a fireman. And one of the persons I picked up flew out of the cot in the ambulance.
And
I said, I challenge you to come ride this. The state, the lady was really good about it. about it.
Dwayne, short on time. I want Patrick to be able to respond. Patrick, go ahead.
Well, I certainly would say that's, you know, shines a spotlight on the true need, you know, and why that support for local funding of roads is key, you know, to address those issues. I wasn't sure if the caller was specifically talking about a county road, but I, in my work with local government and with the counties, I know that, you know, everyone is all in and making sure things are addressed with the resources that they have to do so. So,
and Patrick, we're out of time, but thank you for joining us.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Kate.
Patrick Van Der Sanden, Executive Director of the Wisconsin County Highway Association. It's a State Capitol Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Certified B Corp businesses, they are legally obligated to more than shareholders, but to the environment as well and to community. And around the nation, B Corps are expanding, including here in Wisconsin. Join our conversation about these benefit corporations, 800-642-1234. Jan Van Den Kieboom is founder of Workshop Architects in Milwaukee. Jan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's great to join you this morning.
Good morning. We also have Scott Anderson, co-founder of Stakeholder Stewardship Artisan Dental in Madison. Scott, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Great. And also Lisa Giesenbauer, president of Evolution Marketing in the village of Neshota, chairs the Be Local Wisconsin group. Lisa, thanks for being here. Welcome. Lisa, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi,
you,
Lisa. Yes, we can. Okay. Let's start with you, Lisa. How does your marketing firm incorporate social responsibility into the business model?
Sure. Evolution Marketing just actually turned 15 in September. And what we did is when we founded the business 15 years ago, we decided that we wanted to be run in a triple bottom line manner, which means that we run all of our business decisions through three lenses. That are the impacts on people, so the community, our workforce, our subcontractors, our partners, planet, so the environment. And then the last one is economic viability. Are the decisions we're making going to actually advance the business and help the business to be a force for good in the world? So we did that before the B Corp movement existed, mm-hmm. and we've been operating that way for the last 15 years.
What do your clients say, the people who want your marketing expertise, do they align with your mission?
Yes, they do. And I should say, we're a sustainability consultancy first and then marketing communications second. So that means we only work in the intersectional space of holistic sustainability and then marketing communications for that holistic sustainability. So our clients who are nonprofits and our sustainability practitioners and our businesses who have a really cool new innovative sustainability product, they love that we're a B Corp. And actually, we attract more clients because we're a B Corp.
Hmm. Scott Anderson, how does your dental office meet the criteria of a B Corp?
Well, similar to your introductory speaker's discussion, we need to take a comprehensive approach in terms of earning at least 80 points on the B impact assessment out of a total of 160 points. And we can earn points across five different subcategories. The first is governance. The second is customers. The third is workers or our team members. The fourth is the community. And the fifth is the environment. So as an organization, we've actually earned points across all of those different categories. But to give you an example, in the environmental category, we recently became the first carbon neutral dental practice in the United States. And that helps us in terms of a goal, manage our overall energy usage and help us understand what are our carbon impacts up through our supply chain, for example, what are the impacts in terms of employee commutes into the office. So That's one example in the environmental category.
How big of a challenge was it for you to get the dental practice to become carbon neutral? What were some of the barriers?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge was in order to become carbon neutral, a company needs to assess their what it's called the scope 1, 2, and 3 greenhouse gases. And so we didn't have that expertise within our organization. So we went out and hired a consultancy called Carbon Credit Capital in New York. And they have very sophisticated software that, for example, can take a gauze pad, which we use frequently in our office, and they can assess what is the carbon footprint of that gauze pad through its manufacturing and even its shipping to our organization. So they were able to help us assess our carbon footprint and then also offset that with carbon credits. So I think that was the biggest challenge, but overall, it was a very straightforward process in that in our case, we were able to reduce our total carbon footprint by about 84% just by moving to renewable energy purchases from Madison Gas and Electric.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's turn now to Jan Vandenkieboom. You are new to the B Corp certification with the architecture practice. What surprised you about getting a B Corp certification?
Well, this is our 26th year in business and our second year as a B Corp. So the B Corp really became a way for us to clarify our values as a company and make sure that we were living into them as fully as we can. I think as an architecture firm, we have an opportunity to have a really significant impact on the built environment and on energy uses and carbon impact. But the belonging to the B Corp community has allowed us to hold ourselves even more accountable and make sure that we are not taking shortcuts and looking for opportunities for impact, both environmental and social impact, throughout the different phases of the work that we do.
I would imagine this type of ethic has been running through the firm for a long time, perhaps since its origin. Did anything really change, though, when you became a B Corp?
That's a great question, Kate. Our architecture firm is a little bit unique in that we've really focused on how physical environments impact community and the creation of community, and have been very focused on inclusion, what we call inclusion placemaking, or how can physical environments make marginalized individuals feel engaged and feel ownership of the space. So the B Corp has been more of a way for us to talk about our values and how we work and make it understandable to people. Rather, it hasn't defined how we work as much as helps explain it, if that makes sense.
Kind of like a vehicle for your values, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. Although this is our second year, so we're learned just in the early phases of learning what does it mean to be part of this community. And it's been really fun to connect with other designers that are going down this path. I had a chance to meet with the owner of a B Corp architecture firm in Seattle recently, and we shared stories about why they did it and how it's been impacting their practice. And it's given us a lot of ideas on how we can grow into the B Corp world even more.
We're talking with three business owners that are certified B Corps here in Wisconsin. Jan Vandenkieboom owns an architectural firm in Milwaukee. Scott Anderson, co-founder of a dental office in Madison. And Lisa Giesenbauer, president of a marketing firm and part of the, or leads the B Corp group here in Wisconsin. Lisa, you see a B Corp certification that differently from other types of business labels or sustainability certification. What does B Corp, why does it stand apart?
Okay. And yes, I do totally see being a certified B Corp as being very different than the myriad of sustainability certifications that exist. Currently, there's over 2,500 different types of sustainability certifications.
Wow.
So it could be, yeah, right. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's intense, right? So it could be for a product. It could be for a process. It could be for an operation. It could be for your building. So there's all these different things. But there are very few that are actually holistically for the whole business. So I love the B Corp certification, and we've been a B Corp for 5 years. We just finished our second recertification, and to me it's really important because it looks at holistically your whole operation. So every single thing that you're doing in that business, from the high school kids that I work with at Oconomowoc High School every year, all the way to the purchasing policies and decisions that I put in place at Evolution Marketing, all of those are on the table when you go through the certification process.
Hmm. Scott, the assessment for getting a B Corp certification is rigorous and has become more, I understand, more rigorous over time. Do you think, is this certification for all businesses?
I think it's for all businesses in that the B Impact assessment is a free tool that's available to all businesses around the world. To begin to measure this holistic impact. In terms of the rigor of the assessment, it's been described by Inc. magazine as the most rigorous global standard for a socially responsible business. So I think depending upon where a business is at in their overall sustainability or business for good journey, it may be a good match. But I think for other businesses, it may be more challenging in terms of the rigor.
Lisa, how interested are Wisconsin businesses in this certification?
Well, I think many Wisconsin businesses are super interested. I just don't know, to go back to Scott's point, if they're ready for it. Everybody, I truly believe most businesses really want to be a force for good in the world, and they want to do good by the environment and by social metrics. I think that a lot of people haven't, though, put their practices down on paper, and they haven't started tracking, measuring, and monitoring what they're doing. So because of that, when you look at the B Impact assessment, you might feel overwhelmed because for every answer, every response you put in, you would need to have documentation that backs up what you're doing. So there's another program in Wisconsin. Can I talk a little bit about that people could do if they're beginning the phase? There's a program through the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council. It's called the Green Masters Program. And I like to say it's an on-ramp into the sustainability certifications for businesses. It's not third-party audited like the B Impact assessment, but it does provide a really nice internal assessment you can do yourself. And by doing that, you can then start to see what actions you can take as you're making strategic plans for the future of your organization. And that program, again, if you go to wisconsinsustainability.com, the program's listed online, and both Scott's business, Artisan Dental, and Evolution Marketing have both been part of that program for a really long time as well. And I think it's a great way to start. And then once you've done that program for a couple of years and hit a high score, then you can apply to become a certified B Corp because you're in the mindset of tracking every single action you're doing and managing and monitoring it and documenting it.
We have three certified B Corp companies from Wisconsin as we talk about the on-ramp to socially responsible business practices and what it means to be a B Corp. Lisa Giesenbauer there leads a Neshota marketing firm. Scott Anderson with us, co-founder of a Madison dental practice. And Jan Van Den Kieboom is behind a Milwaukee architecture firm. You can join in on B Corps, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We focus on certified B Corps and the group B Local Wisconsin banding together to show a strong commitment toward being good corporate citizens. Still time to talk about the future of B Corps, 800-642-1234. We have Lisa Giesenbauer, who chairs the B Local Wisconsin Group, runs a marketing agency with the certification. Scott Anderson co-founded a Madison dental practice as a B Corp. And Jan Vandenkieboom founded a Milwaukee architecture firm now with this seal, and they stay with us. Let's bring on a call. Steve is here from Oshkosh. Steve, what would you like to bring up?
Hi. In the last International Climate Change Conference, COP26, which is with the United Nations, one of the primary subjects of the conference was accounting, basically like green accounting for the international financial system. And this effort is led by Mark Carney, the author of a book called Values, and he was the central banker for both England and Canada. And I'm just wondering if the B Corporation, I don't know what to call it, that model, is that involved in this effort, this international effort?
Lisa, is RB Corps bound or following what we see from the Glasgow Climate Pact, from the UN Climate Change Conference?
Okay, that's a wonderful question. So thank you so much, Steve, for calling in. So in the B Corp world, we have what are called working groups, and one of those working groups is called the B Corp Climate Collective. And I'm really proud that my company is one of those. And before COP25, we actually, when I say we, the folks in the B Corp Climate Collective, there were over 500 of us, signed a letter that was actually read aloud at COP25. So before COP26, the one 2 years before that, where we all pledged to be net zero by 2030. So for the B Corp Climate Collective businesses, which my company has signed on to, we were the first in Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure Scott's company has also signed on as well. We're all working towards being net zero by 2030. My business currently is already carbon neutral as well, and there's a large movement. I want to say at the last Climate Collective call we had that we have, I want to say it's 2,000 to 3,000, about half maybe, of the B Corps have already signed on to that, and they're working towards it. The B Corp movement is very much looking at how our business is addressing climate and carbon in their day-to-day operations. And remember when Scott was talking about scopes 1, 2, and 3, that question is actually asked in the B Impact Assessment. So B Labs, U.S. and Canada want to know what actions we're all taking to address climate and carbon. And in the future, I don't know what year this is going to come out. There's been discussion, it'll be 2024, but in the next iteration of the B Impact Assessment, there's going to be an area, there's going to be 10 areas that if your business is not meeting these rigorous standards in these 10 areas, you can't certify as a B Corp. So this is all stuff that's coming out in the future. And one of those areas is carbon management and climate.
Scott Anderson, what would you like to add here about, the climate change, what comes out of the UN Climate Change Conference?
I would defer to Lisa's expertise in this arena. So in that I'm not as well versed in terms of what those international bodies are doing. So perhaps, Lisa, you could add some additional color.
And then, Scott, you are also part of the conscious capitalism movement, though. Can you explain how that is working with your B Corp status?
Sure. We've been strongly influenced by the ideas of conscious capitalism, which are very similar to those of the B Corp movement in terms of emphasizing creating multiple forms of benefit for all stakeholders involved. And I think about conscious capitalism, certified B Corps, organic certifications, fair trade producers, as all part of the larger business for good movement. So these are all sub movements that represent people really trying to use their businesses to create more goodness, more truth, and more beauty in the world. And so fortunately, this movement is very diverse. It's global in scope. And so for those reasons, I'm very, very optimistic in terms of how economies can evolve with these kind of grassroots engines of change at the company level.
Yeah, and as you talked about your architecture firm working with clients, universities, businesses around the nation, and the sustainability of your product depends on your clients' needs at the end of the day. So how do you work with clients to ensure the product meets the social responsibility rigors of the B Corp standards?
There's really two different areas. There's the how the spaces that we create impact social, the social impact on the people who.
I think we're losing you there. Are you still with us, Jan? I think
in terms of measuring people's sense of belonging. Oh, go ahead, Kate.
We lost you there for just a moment. Can you just say again what you said? I hope that the line will hold here.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So there's in our practice, there's really two different areas. One has to do with the environmental impact of the buildings that we construct, both in the carbon usage in its construction and the materials, as well as ongoing operations. And that's pretty easy to measure. We have tools and methodologies to really keep track and to know how well we're doing in those regards. Much more difficult is to measure the impact that these places have on people's well-being. And we've been working on developing tools to measure how well the environments and spaces are impacting people's, and in many cases, because we work a lot with universities, students' mm-hmm. lives and their sense of belonging. And that's one thing that really appealed to us about the B Corp movement is the focus on measuring impact, not just saying you want to do something good, but having to demonstrate that what you're doing is real and that it has impact.
Walking the walk. Well, thank you all for joining us. Jan Vandenkieboom there, founder of Workshop Architects in Milwaukee. Scott Anderson, co-founder of Stakeholder Stewardship Artisan Dental in Madison. And Lisa Giesenbauer, president of Evolution Marketing in Neshota and chairs the B Local Wisconsin Group. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.